Brother Gabriel, Brother Don Walker, got my blood to pumping. What they were saying earlier, I've been preaching for a while. I was thinking about what Gabriel said, and the time is coming, and the precedence has already been set that those that are godly shall suffer persecution. You remember what an inspired man said long ago, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's already happened once. History going to repeat itself? I would say absolutely so. We have coddled the liberals and those who would cause rank division in the Lord's church for so long that they think they can get away with it now. We have more hatred, more malice, more ill will in the year 2006 than we've had in the last 100 years. I was thinking my little grandson, the apple of my eyes, name is Michael. We've had him since he was a little baby. And we were tussling the other day. He got a little froggy, so I just decided I was going to rub his nose in the ground. And I did, and he jumped up and he looked at me and he said, "Papa, it's on." And that's the way we ought to approach what's going on in the brotherhood. Brethren, it's on. Every person that is here today, no matter what congregation you represent, ought to go home and say, "It is on. No more." The walls of the Lord's church have been breached. Error sachets in her courtyard. It's going to be up to us to tighten the cinch, pull in the reins on those who would cause division in the Lord's church. And you say, "David, why would you begin a lesson like that?" Because I want you, number one, to know what's going on. Number two, want you to hold on. Brother Joshua, drive a peg down. Grab a root and growl. We have that injunction in the Bible, don't we? More than one inspired writer has encouraged God's people to hold on. 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Colossians 1:23, "Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." 1 Corinthians 16:13, "Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong." I couldn't help but think of Brother Don Walker's lesson. Brethren, we need some folks that are strong. Not mush mouth. We don't need a watered down, diluted gospel. We need people to stand up and be men and be women. Now, with that out of the way, let's get on to the lesson of the hour. What I've been assigned for this particular hour and a half, it's what everybody else was preaching, so I can go into dinner, can I? It's guard from lying lips. Now, I understand fully that many forms of lying could be brought into play. We understand the plots and the subplots and the various forms of lying. Now, I'm not going to get into all of that. What I want to do is deal with three major areas of lying. Now, that which is important to any discussion is the definition of terms, isn't it? Need to define our terms. Now, I don't care if you go to a Greek lexicon. You can go to Thayer's, you can go to Vine's Expository Dictionary, you can go to the ISBE, and it doesn't make any difference if it's the Greek or the English. Lying is going to be defined in the same manner. It has to do with falsehood, deceit. It means to defraud, to delude, to mislead, to falsify. You know, anytime you get close to this, you have the tendency to want to chase rabbits, and I'm not going to chase a rabbit right here, but I simply will inform you that Brother Deaver, Mac Deaver that is, has a doctrine out on authorized deceit. You can't trust that man as far as you can see him. Well, I'd rather trust rattlesnake. At least I can see him, and I know what his motives are. But see, when you're talking about authorized deceit, you can't ever trust that person to tell you the truth. But if you don't understand anything else, get a hold of this. Lying in its various forms is sinful. And I mean sinful right down to the bone. At one's conversion, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, that we, as God's people, are to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. At your conversion, when you go from out of Christ into Christ, out of the church into the church, you go from lost to being saved, you give up that which is dishonest. Woo, we need some of our brethren to read that verse, don't we? They're just not above board. We are to walk, as Paul would say in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Walk in newness of life. We crucify the old man that the body of sin might be destroyed. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. You know, Colossians 3, Brother Dink, is one of my, for y'all don't know, y'all don't know who Dink is, that's Frank Carriger. That's been his nickname forever. So when I say that, Colossians 3 is one of my favorite chapters in the book of Colossians. You're talking about do's and don'ts, positive and negative. You are to put on some things, and then you are to put off other things. And in that discussion, you know what he says? You know what he's telling us? One of the things he's telling us to put off? Lying. If that's all we brought to the table to discussion, if that's all we had, Brother Israel, that would be enough, wouldn't it? Wouldn't need anything else. But do you think there's anything left in the pot? I do. Absolutely so. Honesty is one of the trademarks of Christianity, isn't it? Guard against lying lips. Brethren, if you are a Christian, you are an honest person. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, what did Jesus say about that honest and good heart? Can you tell me? Those of the good ground, that honest and good heart, will hear the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit. When you look at Acts chapter 6, verse 3, you're talking about men needed in the church today. This kind we need over God's business. Brother Joshua, what sort of man was to be sought out to preside over God's business? Men of honest report, which is a far cry from deceit, delusion, falsifying. We should do that which is honest. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. We are to think on things that are honest. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Now you say, David, you're moving a little quick. Yes, I am. I've got someplace I want to go. And when I get there, I'm going to drive a peg down. Because there's three areas that we're going to deal with. Number one, we can lie. Number two, we can be lied to. But that which we have the most problem with is lying to ourselves. You think about lying to others. The Bible strictly forbids lying. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible tells us an inspired wise man penned these words, God hates a lying tongue. Whew. You know, when you look at the Bible and you see God's wrath unleashed, it's not a pretty sight, is it? We're talking about destruction. When the Bible tells us that God hates a lying tongue, how do you think he's going to deal with a person who lies? Like we are? Like we, you know, we coddle people, don't we? Well, there comes a time when mercy's day is going to run out. You know, people in the church don't believe that. Has it run out before? When God shut the door on the ark, and he did shut the door, by the way, did mercy's day run out for those outside? Did it? Absolutely so. Now, y'all going to have to shake or nod every once in a while just so I know that you people are awake. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to God. And of course, the New Testament commands against lying can be found in the book of Ephesians, like Ephesians 4, 25, wherefore put away lying. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, lie not to one another. Do you get the idea that the Bible condemns you when you tell a lie, when you speak a falsehood? Do you believe that? Do you believe what the book says? The second division, we can be lied to. You ever been lied to? I have, on a number of occasions, and by some people that I was never expected. When you look at Genesis chapter 37, fathers can relate to this, especially when their children are wayward. Jacob was lied to, wasn't he? Sent his son Joseph out to see how the flocks and the boys were doing. They were jealous of Joseph. They ended up selling him into slavery, didn't they? Brought back the coat. Wild beast. Must have been slain by wild beast. Oh, his father was in anguish. Lies hurt. In Paul's day, evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you know, there's one more in the Old Testament. You think about 1 Kings 13? Think about being lied to. Boy, I tell you, that was a courageous man that went before the king and disrupted an idolatrous ceremony. An unnamed prophet. Golden idol had been set up. God sent a man. Told him, you go and you speak out against that. But you don't eat or drink and you go home another way. You remember what that old prophet did to him? Lied to him, didn't he? How much did that lie cost? Cost him his life. Titus chapter 1 verse 10 tells us there will be many of that color, of that number. There are many vain and unruly talkers. Now, even though we must guard against speaking lies and falsehoods, we need to guard against being lied to if possible, but we need to understand that one of the main problems that we face is lying to ourselves. Most of the people that I deal with, you honest, Joshua? Amen? Do I need to ask the congregation for an amen? You're in good shape. They said amen, brother. And we deal with good people, don't we, Joshua? We don't lie to them. They don't lie to us. But even when that happens, can we be guilty of lying to ourselves? And this is bad, brother. Because now we're trying to sweep under our own doorstep, aren't we? You know, the Bible talks about being deceived. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, Paul tells us not to deceive ourselves. Have you ever deceived yourself? I have. Yeah, Israel's still young. Some of you are so old, you may not be able to remember. You ever want something so bad that you talk yourself into it even though you knew it was wrong? I have. And if you people were honest, you'd be in that boat with us. But yes, we can deceive ourselves. 1 Corinthians 3:18, Paul writing to the church now. He writes to the church and he says, let no man deceive himself. Why do you think he wrote that to the church, Joshua? Because you and I, as mere mortals, human beings, are capable of deceiving ourselves if we're not careful. 1 John chapter 1, verse 18 tells us also we can deceive ourselves. Now, in our remaining time, and this is going to get a little close to home for some people, but you just have to get over it. We're going to look at some ways that we can deceive ourselves. Number one on my list is thinking that we have plenty of time. Life is short at best. How stable do you think life is? You know, I'm reminded of what King David said. Now, he had somebody hot on his trail. He said, there's but a step between me and death. What about you? Could you say there's not but a step between you and death? We lie to ourselves saying we have plenty of time. Now, let's get it down to the Beeville congregation. There's sin in your life. Romans 3:23 says, for we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wage of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. Brethren, sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59:1-2. And if you have not taken care of it, you do not have plenty of time. You certainly may not have plenty of time. It seems like an apostle wrote something along these lines. Behold, today is the day of salvation. How much time are you promised past the next breath? Can you tell me when the Lord's coming back? When your physical life is going to end, and if you die lost, you will be forever lost. But we tell ourselves we have plenty of time. Yes, I'll take care of my sin in a godly manner after I sow my wild oats. I do all I want to do, see all I want to see, go where I want to go, and say what I want to say. Then I'll take care of it. People seldom stop to think that it can become too late. Did Jesus make that clear in Luke chapter 12? Verse 20. Now, people in this area can relate to what I'm about to say. A lot of you people are farmers. Farmer made a bumper crop. What will I do? It's almost like a light bulb goes on. I know. Brother Israel, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger barns. Man, we're going to change the philosophy of the life that we're living. We're going to eat and drink and we're going to be merry, right? What did God tell him, Israel? Did God have other plans for him? See, he's thinking, I've got a ton of tomorrow. Do you think he lied to himself? I've got a ton of tomorrows. This is what I'm going to do tomorrow. God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of you. If you are here today and there is sin in your life and you haven't taken care of it in a godly manner, then you will be classified as a fool. if you could leave this building not having taken care of it in a godly manner. James teaches us that life at best is uncertain. James 4, 13 and 14. And again, that being the case, how should we view sin? What should be our attitude toward taking care of sin? Do you think we lie to ourselves? I was thinking the other day, we were dealing with this. One of the prominent men, there were two prominent men in the services that night. And I made the statement, you know, they weren't members of the Lord's church. I said, you know, there's sin in their life. They haven't been baptized for the remission of their past sins, and yet they're more faithful than some of the members here, and they come with their wives thinking that they're going to get to heaven on the coattails with those fine ladies. Name was Henry Potts. Made him so mad because there was only two in that shape. And he told his wife on the way home, he said he was either talking to Bob Middleton or me. Well, what difference did it make? It was the truth, wasn't it? The next morning he was baptized. By the way, both of those men are now members of the Lord's church. They finally gave in. But you know, we deceive ourselves even as members of the Lord's church, don't we? We do what we want, when we want to do it, say what we say, how we want to say it, and we don't take care of aught between our brothers and sisters. Now, we're going to talk about that tomorrow in unity. You know, that's mighty bold, isn't it? Thinking that I can do what I want to do regardless of what God has to say. Brethren, we do not have plenty of time. And then another lie we tell ourselves. We don't have the time. You know, there's a lot of work to be done in God's house, isn't there? Brother Marr, would you say that's true? As an elder, there's a lot of work to be done in God's house. You know the work passages. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Titus 2:14, God redeemed for himself a zealous of good works people. Titus chapter 3, verse 1, be ready unto every good work. Now, you elected elders in this congregation or appointed elders in this congregation so they could do your work for you. Is that right? You know, my father-in-law was probably one of the wisest men I ever met in my life, and he didn't finish high school. He wore overalls and brogans. And when it come to work in the Lord's church, he would tell me about this 80-20 philosophy. He said, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. What's wrong with that? I don't have the time. Yes, you've got the time. You've got the same 24-hour period as everybody else works in. You just got to get your priorities straight. When will we ever come to realize that we can ride a good horse to death? You understand what I'm saying? You see, the same people... I don't want to get too close to home. You see the same people cleaning up after fellowships every month. Same people washing dishes. You just see the same people doing this work and this work, and we take it for granted that they're always going to do it, that they never get tired, they never become discouraged. I don't have the time. You know, Ephesians 5:16 tells us to redeem the time for the days of evil. One of the great problems we have in our society is time management. Especially you younger couples. If we are not ever so careful, you're going to become too busy for God. Now, I know that we need to make a living. I know that we need to spend time with our families, don't we, Joshua? And if you're like me, I need some time for myself. Even Jesus went away into the wilderness by himself on occasions, didn't he? But should all of these come at the expense of God? Should they? Now, you think this is a strange approach, but brethren, these are ways that we do lie to ourselves and the way problems rear their head in the Lord's church. You know, what good is it for me to concentrate on lying when 95% of the people in the Lord's church don't lie? Now, I understand we're lied to many times in the world. This is the problem area when it comes to lying. Lying to ourselves, deceiving ourselves. You know, didn't Jesus say in Matthew 16:26, for what's it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will he give in exchange for? What will he sell out for is the question. What good will it do you? Now, I've heard all these excuses. If you preach very long, you've heard them also. What good will it do you to get the laundry done on Sunday and lose your soul? What good will it do you to cook for your children, stay home, and lose your soul? What good will it do you if you make every ball game in this county and lose your soul? What good will it do you if you catch every fish and kill every deer in this county? And I do both, by the way. And lose your soul. We need to make sure that we keep our priorities straight. And brethren, there is a priority list. God first, others second, and I'm third. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 22:37, when he was asked, what's the first great commandment? Did he give an answer? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. What's left? Can you tell me? Does that mean with every fiber of our moral being, we love God? Colossians 1:18, Jesus is to have the preeminence in our lives. Yes or no? What does it mean for Jesus to be the preeminent one in our lives? Every decision that we make must be centered on the Christ with him in mind. Would you say that's right? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things, all these things, the things that the Gentiles were seeking, shall be added unto you. What were you put on this earth to do? Can you answer that question? I can. To serve. Not be served, but to serve. Another way we can lie to ourselves, and I've heard this, you know, it's pretty hard to fathom that this is real, but what I'm relating to you is as real as it gets. God understands me the way I am. After all, he made me that way. It's like the man who prayed, he said, God, help me always be right because I never intend to change. You ever found people like that? You know, change is crucial, necessary, and vital to our spiritual survival. If you're not changing, you're not growing. Is that right? You know, 1 Peter 2:2 says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Brethren, if you grow, you change. You best be changing. We best be maturing. In Ephesians 4:14, the Apostle Paul, writing to Christians, said, be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men. At some point in time, you need to grow up. And growth implies change. We've got people in the church. Now, it's not wrong to start out a babe in Christ. What's wrong and what is a sin is to stay a babe in Christ. Got people in the church 40 years, don't know any more now than when they came in. They haven't grown. They haven't changed. Brethren, there are some things we need to move on to. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principle, the oracle of God, let us go on to what? Perfection. Almost gave away for a second. Perfection, maturity, well-roundedness. Brethren, you best be changing. If you're not changing, you're moving in the opposite direction. You're falling behind. Number four, if my intentions are good, it's okay. It's going to be pretty hard to convince us of that, isn't it? We lie to ourselves in so many different ways. You know, I have talked to people, especially my left-wing brethren, liberals. You know, they got their hair slicked down with love and it's running out of both sides of their mouth, and then they got poisonous pens. You know, they don't want you correcting error, but they'll just rip you from gizzard to goosel. But, you know, do you think Uzzah was friendly to the ark? Do you think his intentions were good? When you read that account, just on face value, what I see, he was friendly to the ark. His intentions were good, and what was the result of his actions? He was killed dead in a hammer, wasn't he? You know what that tells me? That good intentions will never make a wrong thing right. And number two, good intentions will not take the place and cannot take the place and will not take the place of complete and total obedience to God. Now this last one, I'm too old and I've done my part. You ever heard that before? Evidently, Joshua has. Anybody who's preached a while has. You know, do you know what hogwash is? See me after service and I'll tell you. That's as much hogwash I ever heard in my life. I'm too old. I've done my part. I heard a man say this, Frank, not too long ago, and I believe this to be true. You know, that statement was made, and he said, no, no. He said, you've got it all wrong. He said, you are finally old enough. Now, you think about that. In our youth, I'm not going to use Israel. He's got relatives here. But in our youth, Israel, we were impetuous, weren't we? Yeah, amen? Okay. You think we could be a little bit hasty? A little bit impulsive? But now what happens as we get older, Joshua? We cook a little more, don't we? We understand. We've been there. We've done that. We've sold a t-shirt in the garage sale. We know what life is about. Then, see, we've got the scars of battle on us. We have finally enough experience to pass on what we know. Now, this is where 2 Timothy 2:2 comes into play. Where we've gone wrong in the church is the older men haven't been teaching the younger men, and the older women haven't been teaching the younger women when they're finally old enough and ready to do so. When things are working right, I knew it was going to get it. When things are working right, the older folks, you don't like that term, I'll say experienced people, will set the tenor and the tone of the congregation when things are working right. In your advanced age, and you think about this, God can use you as he has never used you before, because you know more. You're experienced. You've got battle scars to prove it. The last one is, he or she will never convert. Brent, too many times we use that as a duck and a dodge. People out there we don't like. They're a little rough. My wife has an uncle, drove for Leeway Freight Line. I can remember one morning he put me on a deer stand. He always dressed the same way. No shirt, khaki pants, unbuttoned at the top, no shoes, pants rolled up about halfway up the knee. Put me on a deer stand one morning, 13 degrees. Guess how he was dressed? Same way. He was meaner than a junkyard dog. He drank more booze than a bootlegger. Cussed like a sailor. And I said, you know, that man, Joshua, will never turn. I tried. Right now, he's a man dying because of the consequences of sin, but he's going to die Christian. Never underestimate the power of the gospel. See, we put too much emphasis on the messenger when we need to be emphasizing the message. Where's the power? Is the power in Joshua? Or is the power in the Word? Now, he houses that treasure. It's in him. But the power is not his, it's God's. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, that's the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. James 1:21, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Acts 20:32 talks about the word that builds us up and gives us inheritance among those that are sanctified. Don't use that as a cop-out. See, if men of that rank caliber that I just described to you will turn, will others like him turn? Possibly so. See, we give up on people that God hasn't given up on. Aren't you glad, Frank, people didn't give up on you? Amen. Amen. We need to guard against lying to others. We need to guard against being lied to, if at all possible. And we surely need to guard against lying to ourselves. Thank you for being such a good audience. Look forward to tomorrow, Lord's Day. We're going to talk to you about unity. And again, I hope we get a little close to home. Thank you.